I'm going to get started over there in just a few announcements. Continue to pray for the ministry. Got some exciting announcements, but I got to kind of wait like I kind of led you on Sunday. I'm going to stretch it a little further. Just some things I can't say, you know. God's doing some work behind the scenes, and we had an unexpected breakthrough that I really can't talk about just yet, but God is good. Amen. Did anybody have anything yet? God didn't do anything for you? Moving that way? Yeah, he's always doing. He woke you up this morning, set you on your way. That's a good song, by the way. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Okay, y'all don't know one. See, you guys are lost without the words, man. If you had the words, you'd be like, yeah, praise God. But anyways, those were the words. You just don't know the song. I know the song, but that goes way back to our old church days. What's that? Camp meeting. Yeah, how many of y'all remember camp meeting? We're going to have a camp meeting here one day. I love that name, camp meeting, hanging out. But anyways, do pray for me tomorrow. I'll be interviewing with Lynn Liaz. I think it's around 6:30 tomorrow evening. I don't know when it'll be released, but I'm looking forward to that opportunity. And there's a special announcement that'll be made on that program, sounds like. And then I can maybe talk some more about what the Lord is up to. Okay? So maybe Sunday. Wouldn't that be cool? But anyways, God's doing great things, and I do want to share them, but I have to wait on that. Well, let's get into tonight's teaching. Father, I love you. Thank you again. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We do speak to every name on the cross. We declare and decree them free, healed, delivered, everything that they need. Father, you're supplying it beyond their imaginations. For everybody watching tonight, Father, bless these, your people, bless their homes, their bodies, everything about their life. Just do a supernatural breakthrough for them, Father. We thank you for Psalms 5:12 that talks about the favor like a shield that surrounds us. Lord, we love you tonight. Lead us into all truth. And Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can do that. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen and amen. Yep, God is good. He is making a way when there seems to be no way. So I do appreciate your prayers. All right. The book of Acts, last time we got together, gave some opening statements. By the way, man, it's the end of February. Woo! We are already into March. We are moving. I told you this year was going to fly by. We are really moving on. But I'm looking forward to some exciting days. The book of Acts, the day of Pentecost was the event to answer many questions about the Father, or as I said, the Trinity, in his plans and purposes. Remember that. The day of Pentecost was the event. It answered so many questions about the plans, the purposes of God, and what he was going to do. And we're learning that even now. As we study the book of Acts, we begin to discover that God has tremendous plans for the church. And it just was not a historical event, but it was also a mighty movement of God that hasn't ended. Can somebody say amen? Before this day, the disciples walked in ignorance of their destiny, but now they were alive with purpose and power. You know, that's so true that so many times when we get born again, we know we were saved, we're excited about life, but we really don't know what we're supposed to do. We really don't know our destiny. But there's something amazing that happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You all of a sudden see things you couldn't see before. You begin to have destiny. You begin to have passion and desire. And again, that's a tremendous thing. The modern church has less power and less purpose because we've lost the pursuit of Pentecost. Again, it's not just the day. We've lost the pursuit of the Holy Spirit. We lost the pursuit of wanting to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We've lost the pursuit of wanting to see the manifestations of God within his house. We've traded the Pentecost for popular activities and trending events, and see how much people we can gather into a building and not fill them up with truth, just fill them up with entertainment. So the modern church has lost its power, or has less power and less purpose, because we've lost the pursuit of Pentecost or the pursuit of the Holy Spirit. I want to obtain the reason. Like Paul said, he said, "Man, I'm after the reason for which I was called. I want to know the reason why God called me. I want to know the reasons why he apprehended me." So in order to know that, I have to pursue his presence and pursue the power of the Holy Spirit in order for him to reveal that. But again, the modern church just seems to stop. It's dead in its tracks. And that's a bad place to be, especially with those who say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but then they never pursue any more of him. You remember the old song, "I got it, I got it"? That's an old song. "I got it, I got it." Well, you need to get some more of it. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit, listen to this, the Holy Spirit desires to infuse us with power and purpose, the hope of glory, but we must return to the roots of our birth. There it is again. He wants to give us more. I mean, how much of God is enough? How much revelation is enough? How much anointing is enough? How much prophecy? How many dreams is enough? How many songs can you write? How many sermons can you preach? How much is enough? It should never be enough. It should always be a pursuit of God, and you should always get to the point where you empty yourself out and say, "God, fill me back up again." Okay, so we were talking about that in Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Remember, they were amazed. They were thrown out of their position. They were basically out of their mind. They were like, "Whoa, man, I've never seen anything like this. This is absolutely amazing." And they were perplexed. And they said, "What does this mean?" And they were determined. They wanted to know. Again, I believe if we would get back to the roots of Pentecost, if we would get back to the roots of the Spirit of God and pursuing him and letting the Holy Spirit loose in our churches, we would have people who would say, "What does this mean?" They would want to know the Holy Spirit. They'd want to know more about Jesus. They would pursue, and they would say, "Man, you know, when I came in that building, I felt such power. I felt conviction. I didn't know what was going on, but I felt flames. I felt power." How many of y'all know people say that when they come in this house? They said, "Man, when I got out of the car, I felt the presence of God. When I got in the place before the keyboardist ever played and before the song was ever sung, I felt the presence of God in this house." Well, why? Why? Because we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell here. Because without him, we're nothing. And so we got to get back to that basic where we go to the roots of our birth. And when we do that, man, we're going to have people that say, "What does this mean? What is this that's going on?" All right. So they did that. Remember, that was kind of a burning bush moment. The exact same thing that happened with Moses. You know, these people came and saw this glory, this fire, this presence, this excitement. And they pondered and they wanted to know. Man, I want to preach that so bad because we're so, so far in the modern church away from that revelation. All right. So then there was the other group, man, that said, "Hey, you're full of the sweet wine, the new wine. You're drunk. You're all messed up. You're into something you shouldn't be doing." But remember, that was the Pharisees. They called Jesus. He was hanging out with a wine bibber. And he was hanging out with all them sinners. Remember that? Talking about all the stuff that he did, Matthew 11. And it's the same devil. Amen. Same devil working today that wants to try to stop the movement of the Spirit of God. And some of that happens with excess. And then that happens with ignorance. And then those who just don't want to do anything with the Holy Spirit. So then in verse 14, Peter finally stood up and he said something. Amen. Thank God. Remember, the Holy Spirit will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It'll turn you into a superman or a superwoman. You can be shy in your personality, but I believe when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, something happens to you. You become bold. You go from being an introvert to somebody that we just can't get you to be quiet. Amen. And from a pastor's point of view, I would rather deal with wildfire than no fire. Let me try that one more time. I would rather deal with wildfire than no fire, because wildfire I can control. I know how to fix the boundaries, but no fire, I can't do nothing with you. You just dead wood, wet wood, and you don't take a spark. Amen. But Peter was changed. He was that way. He was fumbling over himself, and then he became a mighty man of God. Remember, it was the third hour, which was what? 9 o'clock in the morning. Still eating cornflakes by nine. Not drinking no booze. They weren't drunk like you suppose. And then he goes on to verse 16. So let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 2 for tonight. Man, I'm excited about this teaching. I hope it's been blessing you and encouraging you. And we're going to go further and further and get into the depth of what God is trying to say to the modern church today through the book of Acts. All right, here's a couple of statements to give to you. Again, the book of Acts. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is heaven's evidence that the word of God is true. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is heaven's evidence that the word of God is true. See, because it was prophesied and promised in the Old Testament. There were types and shadows of the movement of the Holy Ghost. There were miracles. There were manifestations. There were theophanies, Christophanies, which is the appearance of God and an appearance of Christ throughout the Old Testament. And if we ever go back into the tabernacle, I'll show you those things. But there were promises that God made that he would reveal himself in the latter days. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit does that, and it proves the word of God. It's evidence. So again, this is not just a historical event. This is not where the Pentecostal charismatic denominations were built and developed and sealed and all that stuff. No, this was a tremendous earth-shaking, history-making moment when God was revealing to the earth his divine evidence of everything he said before and what he is going to fulfill now. Very powerful. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is heaven's evidence that the word of God is true. The central figure in the New Testament is the resurrected Christ manifested by his Spirit. Remember, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Okay? The reason I gave you this is because it is going to be the theme all the way through from the book of Acts to the end. The four Gospels, they represented Christ and his life and his walk and his miracles and the witness and the testimony of what he did. But as you move into the book of Acts and you move forward, you begin to see that central figure is now his resurrected life. Amen. And what Jesus is going to do through his Spirit-filled church. But it's manifested by his Spirit. It's very important to remember because, again, there's so many times that we look at Jesus just through the New Testament lens of the four Gospels, which is very powerful. That's how we learn. That's how we walk and we make example and we understand. But when we need to see in this hour is the depth of who he is post-resurrection. We need to see what he's doing in us now. It's one thing to look historically back and say, well, that was Jesus' day. Have you ever heard that from modern theologians? Well, that was Jesus' day, and that was Jesus. And I remember when I was backslidden, I would make those excuses. I'd say, well, you know, nobody's like Jesus. Nobody's perfect. And we would come up with all those things and slander, and we'd use it as an excuse. Well, the life of Christ is our example, and we should want to walk that way. But we can't walk that way unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead does what? It quickens your mortal body. He now empowers you, infuses you to do that life he did. But if you don't understand the Christ of the resurrection, then you can never walk his earthly ministry. You can never walk it out. Do you see that? And so that's why he gave me that statement to you. The central figure in the New Testament is the resurrected Christ manifested by his Spirit. Not just talking about New Testament, but I'm talking, or excuse me, the Gospels, but I'm talking the full New Testament. See, the Bible is the full counsel of God. Don't ever let anybody teach you or tell you that the Old Testament doesn't have its value and there are certain parts of the New Testament that doesn't have its value. It's the whole counsel of God. Amen? None of this should be done away with. None of the teachings should ever, you know, be laid aside. It should always be brought out so we can learn. the full counsel of God. All right. The Word of God became alive to the world on the day of Pentecost. The Word of God became alive to the world on the day of Pentecost. The living Word, which is Jesus, became real to every tribe, to every nation, to every tongue. The Word of God became alive to the world on the day of Pentecost. The living Word, Jesus, became real to every tribe, nation, and tongue. When the day of Pentecost came, it was the answer that God was giving to the world that Jesus had risen from the dead and that God would give the promise of his presence, that he would never leave us, he would never forsake us, that he would give us a comforter, that Jesus would come and baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that word became alive. All of a sudden, now watch this with me, all of a sudden, the inability of Jesus to touch everybody became the ability to touch everybody. The inability of Jesus to touch everybody became the ability to touch everybody with the power of the Holy Spirit. I've said it before, I'm glad Jesus walked the earth, but I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he gave us the Holy Spirit. I'm glad he gave us his presence so that my brothers and sisters in Singapore can feel the presence of God when they kneel down to pray, just like I can here in Livonia. And Jesus could walk into that room just like he walks into this room. And he could not do that in his earthly ministry, though he could do great and mighty things. He went through walls. He did tremendous things. But he could not be everywhere at one time. There had to be the transfer. And I'm so glad for that. Now, when we get to heaven, we're not going to fist fight over him. He's glorified now. I don't know how he's going to put us all in his arms and hold us all, but he's going to do it somehow. I don't know how we're going to hang out at the marriage supper of the Lamb and not one of us feel like he ain't talking to us. You ever been eating with somebody at a restaurant and you feel like nobody's talking to you, but you got invited? That's not going to happen in the marriage supper of the Lamb, man. He's going to be there in every form and fashion. I don't know how he's going to do it, but that's a cool mystery to think about. So we won't have to fight and push each other over in that day. So the Word of God became alive to the world on that day of Pentecost. The living Word, Jesus, became real to every tongue, nation, or every tribe, nation, and tongue. So again, the day of Pentecost happened. Everybody hears their languages. They're from all across the world. Now they see the manifestation of God. He's touching every language. He's touching every area. And he's saying, I did what I said I was going to do, and that's manifest myself to the world. And then finally, the flood of revelation knowledge. Write this down. The flood of revelation knowledge was released upon the earth so the church could finish the ministry of Jesus. The flood of revelation knowledge was released upon the earth so the church could finish the ministry of Jesus. You know, so many preachers, so many pastors, they like to say that, you know, fivefold is the only ministry. You know, fivefold, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, the prophet, you know, so on. Just this is fivefold. These specialists, they're the only ones that are called to do anything. Well, you know, those are special giftings from God, there's no doubt. And there's special positions for that as well, special judgment for that. But also, what is lost today is the fact that everybody is a minister, that everybody has a job to do, that all of y'all, how's that for country, all y'all got something to do for God. All of us have a calling of God. We may not be in that fivefold, but we do have a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. No, you don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be an evangelist or a teacher or a pastor, but you can be a servant of God and called by God. And watch what it says here. The flood of revelation knowledge was released upon the earth. So the church, it is the manifold wisdom of God to use the church in these last days. Amen. You and I, we're the church. It's not a building. It's not one man. It is all of us together collectively doing something awesome for God. So that revelation knowledge is available to all of us so we can fulfill the Great Commission. and fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? People say, well, yeah, I don't feel like I'm doing anything for God. I don't feel like I have value. Everybody has value. Everybody, think of this, all of us collectively and corporately, we are moving the kingdom of God and we're moving the ministry of Jesus Christ throughout the earth. People that are watching right now and people that are praying for this ministry and supporting and whatever, we're all doing something to see the ministry of Jesus Christ fulfilled on the earth. I love that. And that's why I love team, because it's team that makes it happen. All right, Acts chapter 2. Come on, get to the book of Acts chapter 2. Aren't you glad to be on the team? I'm glad to be on the home team. I'm glad to be on the winning team. I just want to be a part of what God's doing. All right, so those are the beginning statements to get us started. Acts chapter 2. Let's go to verse 16, and let's really dig into this tonight. But this is that. Okay, so Peter stands up and says, look, these guys aren't drunk. It's the ninth hour. It's a third hour. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're doing okay. This is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. Remember I told you last week, man, when people ask you, what's going on at Ignited? This is that. Man, why are you acting that way? This is that. Man, I heard you praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, this is that. You know, this is what? This is that. This is what God promised. This is what I said in the beginning, that it made the Word of God come alive. It was the evidence. It was saying to the world, this is that. It was saying to the Jews, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, this is that. This is what was spoken by the prophet that was anointed by the Holy Spirit to write down these words that in a certain hour and a certain day, this is that. It would come to pass. Amen. And so we went over Joel. We're going to go back there in a minute. Watch verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody say the last days. The last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So let's stop right there. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days. Okay? So the word of God is being fulfilled. Joel is being fulfilled. It was already fulfilled with the day of Pentecost. It proved the ministry of Jesus Christ. It proved his resurrection. It proved the promise of God sending his spirit. But he said it would be in the last days. Now, to understand the last days, what it means is it's not just the end of time, but the last days is a period of the ministry of Jesus. It is a period of the kingdom age and the period of church age. You need to write that down. That's very important to follow where we're headed. Okay? And it shall come to pass in the last days. Peter knew and understood when he said that, he wasn't speaking that everything was about to end. He wasn't thinking that the events would take place, the revelation things and all that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and other places. He wasn't bringing that to an end. What he was saying is, this is that from Joel who said that in the days of the ministry of Jesus, these things would begin to come to pass. Because the ministry of Jesus continues until we're all gone. Some of y'all don't get that. The ministry of Jesus didn't end when he died on the cross and he rose the third day and he ascended into heaven. The ministry of Jesus is perpetual. It never ends. It never ends in an earthly fashion until this is all done, until we're all gone. This thing's all finished up, all wrapped up, and he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and brings the new Jerusalem. Until then, the ministry of Jesus Christ continues. We are the extension of Jesus Christ. We are the hands and we are the body. So I'm telling you, we should be walking in great power. We should be walking in great manifestation. We should be seeing a greater harvest. We should be seeing a greater depth of revelation knowledge of the Word of God and greater tenacity and greater passion for the things of God, because we are that living body. We are finishing everything Jesus both began to teach and to do. That's what we began, right? O Theophilus, Luke speaks to that Roman person. We believe it's a Roman official saying, hey, this is all that Jesus began to teach and to do. So Peter is saying this is that which was prophesied through Joel, but will not end until it's all finished. And guess what? We get to be a part of it. We're the workers. We're the laborers. Woo, glory to God. All of us, not just the guy up front, but all of us in your respective workplaces, in your respective families, in your respective neighborhoods, you're to be doing the ministry of Jesus Christ. How do you do it? Through the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Man, I tell you, there's so many misnomers about ministry. Ministry is not a microphone, slick hair, shiny shoes, a camera, in an audience. Ministry is praying, loving God, loving people, interceding, getting on your knees and crying out to God. That's real ministry. Amen. I've told you many times, this is 10% of ministry standing up here. The rest of the ministry part is things you may never see. That's true ministry. Amen. And so let's go to Joel real quick then. Since we're there and we're just going to tear this up. Okay. This is why we're teaching this basically verse by verse. Is that all right? So if you're looking for quick draw McGraw, you're not going to get that with this. We're just going to teach this thing and speak it and learn it. Joel chapter 2, and just keep your finger back on Acts 2 because we're not going to be long here. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass. That's powerful. We can go home right there. You say, why? Because that guarantees me that whatever God says is going to happen, because we just saw it take place in Acts chapter 2. He said, it shall come to pass. Now, that was a long time from Joel to Acts, but guess what? It shall come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Whatever God ever promised you in your life, it shall come to pass. So it shall come to pass when? Afterwards. Afterwards. What does afterwards mean? It means in the last days. Afterwards means after Christ has been crucified, after he's been resurrected, afterwards, in the last days, okay? In the last days, they would pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Okay, hold your spot there. Go back to Acts chapter 2, but do hold your spot because I will go back there in just a minute. Okay? Go back to Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, Joel said afterwards. Peter said the last days. Because Peter is speaking after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joel is speaking towards it and beyond. Okay? It's very important you catch that. Because if you understand the last days and what Peter is saying, he's talking about a time period from right then until when it's all done, which means we're right in the middle of it. We're right in the middle of it. That means he's talking about us, and everything that Peter's going to talk about and what we're going to learn in the book of Acts deals with us. It hasn't gone away. And those liars, those heretical people out there that teach that the power of the Holy Spirit, the giftings of God stopped with the apostles, they ought to be hung upside down with their toenails. Because Peter said it would be in the last days. So that means it's right now. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, signs and wonders and miracles, raising the dead, deaf ears unstopped, blinded eyes opened up. Come on, somebody. The cripple, the lame, they're going to walk. Amen. The dumb, they're going to speak. Why? Because we're finishing what Jesus started. Okay. So it shall come to pass in the last day, say now, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit. Now write this down. I will pour out of my spirit. Put that down somewhere in your notes and highlight it. It's highlighted in my Bible. Pour out of my spirit. Some translations say from my spirit. But it's out of my spirit or from my spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says that he will pour out his spirit. Afterwards, he would pour out his spirit. Peter said in the last days he would pour out of or from his spirit. That's very important you catch that, because there's two outpourings. There's two outpourings. Okay? And I'll prove that to you in just a minute. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, here's the thing. You need to write this down. Acts chapter 2, part 1, and Joel chapter 2, part 1, are literally the same things. Joel is saying there's coming a day where there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It took place when? On the day of Pentecost. That was part 1. There is another outpouring that is coming. In fact, it's already on us, and that is Acts chapter 2, part 2, and Joel part 2. In other words, God said, I am going to cause such a tremendous event to take place on the earth, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, and he poured his spirit out. Then he says, I'm going to pour out of my spirit or from my spirit. In other words, that which has already been poured out on the earth on the day of Pentecost is going to continuously be poured upon the earth in the last days. It's going to continuously be poured out upon the earth until this whole thing's done. In fact, I'm even going to do something more awesome in the last days. And I'm going to show that to you in just a minute. That is going to be a phenomenal outpouring of his Holy Spirit. But you need to write that down, Acts chapter 2, part 2. Acts chapter 2, part 2, because it's not done. And this is where we miss it from a theological, scholarly, historical, lethargic, blah, teaching point of view, when it's all just historical stuff, instead of looking at what is really being said and looking at what is really happening around us. We lose this because everybody says, all right, well, day of Pentecost took place. It's over. The oil run dry. There's no more spirit. There's no more nothing. It's done. We're just going to cruise. We're going to get raptured out of here. So just kumbaya and hang on, honey. Well, that ain't the way the Bible reads. That isn't what has happened. Remember, you have to go to the law of first mentions to find out the intent of God. Well, according to this historical truth here, this is a law first mentioned for the church, okay, and for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it shall come to pass, verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now watch, let me clarify and prove to you there's part one and part two. Did they prophesy? Did the young men, did the daughters, did the sons, did the old men have vision? Read it with me again. And I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Did all that take place right there on the day of Pentecost in the upper room? No. What happened? Like cloven tongues of fire, a clap thundering presence, earth-shaking manifestation of God took place. They began to speak in every known language to the people that were there from the four-flung corners of the earth. It caused such a noise abroad that everybody ran to check it out, and they heard their own languages and said, man, these guys are wild. Another says, you're freaks and you're drunk. That was part one. That was the first part of the prophecy of Joel. It was part one of the book of Acts. It is not the completion of the book of Acts because the young men didn't have visions and the old men didn't dream. Do you see that? So the Spirit was poured out on them, but now God was going to pour out of his Spirit. You'll catch that later. That is the presence of God. That is the rivers of living water coming down upon the church and it being an overflow into the nations of the earth. And we should always be open, never be dammed up, never have sin, bitterness, envy, strife that dams up the well of God, the presence of God, and it just flows out of us. That's why we can lay hands on people and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is continuously pouring out his Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, part 2, right now. Amen. Playing at a theater near you. Hallelujah. Playing at Ignited Church. I mean, it's the drama that's being laid out and played out right before your very eyes, the drama of the power of God. So do you see that? Give me a head shake, check your pulse, make sure you're okay. because it is a part two. Now, this is exciting, and this is where I want to start preaching, but I don't look like I have enough time to preach. That tells me this, that the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit brought that glory to the early church, birthed the early church, the revelation, the demonstration, the manifestation came upon them, and because of that, we now have a continuous outflow from heaven to earth. We have a continuous outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. Therefore, Dr. Dumbbell, this is not an historical event. This is a perpetual, continuous event of God that can happen any day, at any time, in any nation, in any city, in any block, in any neighborhood, in any home, in any church. At any moment, God can pour out His Spirit and fill the whole room with His glory. And everybody can speak in tongues and everybody can feel the presence of God. Whew, that's what I'm talking about. Thank God. Thank God He's not a respecter of persons. Man, I tell you, I've been to many countries of the world, and I'm telling you, He's the same Holy Spirit. He's the same Holy Spirit as He is in Africa and Romania and Russia and Cuba and South America. He is the same. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to preach. So I will pour out my Spirit. He said, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit. I'm going to pour from my Spirit. So we're still pouring. The church should still be pouring. We should still be pouring out. There's a reason that the Dead Sea is dead. It always takes in and never gives out. There's a reason why today's church is dead. It never gives out. It never outpours. It never gives from that which God has given freely. They never give it out. They always hold it for themselves, and they keep revelation from themselves, and they never bring people into a deeper understanding of what God has planned for them. All right, so go on. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So did all flesh receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Nope. Can all flesh now? Yes. Is it available to everybody? Absolutely. All somebody has to do is call upon the name of the Lord and lift their hands and say, God, fill me. I don't care if they're in the desert or Saudi Arabia right now. All they have to do is lift their hands up, call upon the name of the Lord. And that same glory that you feel in this house and what you feel on Sunday mornings can fall right down upon them. That's why we should pray for the nations, and we should pray that God would touch these countries and God would fill them with the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that. We need to pray. That's why we pray over this cross. This isn't a gimmick. This cross is for that people can feel the tangible presence of God. We ought to quit damning ourselves by damming up the Spirit of God and freeing Him and releasing Him as He wants to in our church services and around the nations of the world through prayer. Man, I'm telling you, I feel His presence right now, don't you? So Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32 talks about the Spirit being poured out. That's part one. It happened in Acts chapter 2. That was the fulfillment of part one. And then part two, he goes on to say that you young men, watch it with me. Read it with me. I'll pour all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, the word for men there, talking about young men, is the word weos. You might want to write that down, weos. And it's not spelled the way it sounds. H-U-I-O-S. H-U-I-O-S, 5207 if you're going to study it out, but it's pronounced weos. What does that mean? Your young men, your weoses. The word weos means a mature son, somebody with maturity, somebody that can handle this outpouring, somebody that is willing to walk in this outpouring. Okay, so weos is studied all through, we've studied it through ISM and many other times in this church. Jesus was called a weos his entire life, except one time when it was said that when he pointed out to the disciple that he was to Mary that this was his son. They called him a technon at that point, which means a child. But this is weos, which is a mature son. This is something for you to see, okay? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. So what was going to happen? Let's try to bring this home here in a minute. what was going to happen in part two? Well, in part two, we're going to start having dreams and visions. In part two, we're going to have supernatural revelation and knowledge, like he told us in the beginning, in those words that I gave you, that a flood of revelation knowledge was coming to the church. All this was being done to equip us so that we can finish the ministry of Jesus Christ. The nine gifts of the Spirit are for the ministry of Jesus Christ. They're not to make us, you know, superstars in the church and book writers and all that stuff, and books, all that stuff's fine and whatever. But the point is, it was not to make us superstars in the church. It was to be used to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to prove to the unbeliever that there is a God in heaven and a God in Israel that still saves and heals and delivers. That when we would have a tongue interpretation, a tongue, it would convict the sinner. I don't have time to go over the giftings, but this is what it was being offered. Can you see this? This is part two. This is what we're living today. So the last days is afterwards, according to Joel, which would be the ministry of Jesus Christ. We're living the ministry. We're doing the business for Jesus. Now, most of the church is doing a sad job. They should be fired. But for us that are a remnant and we love God and we're trying the best we can, we're fulfilling the ministry of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the ministry of Jesus Christ? Lay hands on the sick. Preach the kingdom. Come on, take care of the widow. Take care of the orphans. Bless those that don't have. Come on, lift up the weak. Help those that have been abused and be a protector to those. Man. What a day to live in. What an opportunity to serve the Lamb of God. Okay? But he didn't leave us powerless. He said this. He said, you're going to dream dreams. You're going to have visions. So he's talking about the gifts. Now look at verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. He's still talking about pouring his Spirit out. So what's he saying? It's a perpetual outpouring. It's perpetual Pentecost. It's perpetual glory. The rivers never run dry. We're going to continue to flow in this thing. We don't get a dry day. We don't get a drought in the house of God. We don't get a drought as a believer. I don't have a down day in God, because with God, he lifts you up and he fills you. I didn't say I didn't have troubles. What I'm saying to you is that we should never be in a position where we go into a dry place, because we have the ability to call upon that flood and say, God, pour out your Spirit on us. Woo, hallelujah. Just because we got problems, man, we just call upon the name of the Lord. We have something that most dead churches don't have, and that is the power and the presence of the living God. Man, I want to run around this building. I'm not saying you're not going to have a bad day. Give me a stinking break. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. No, man, you know I'm just messing with you. Let me get another sip of water. Maybe my last one. Come on, married folk, y'all looking at me. You know what I'm talking about. But the point is, we all have troubles, but thank God we have the Holy Spirit to help us and to bring us into a place of victory. Come on, we have victory every day. So I'm going to pour out on my servants. Watch verse 19. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. What is he talking about? He's talking about all the way to the end. I'm clarifying, I'm justifying, and I am solidifying everything I told you from the beginning when I told you this part one and part two, that Peter was prophesying and he was agreeing with what Joel said, because Joel was anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak the future afterwards, which is the last days of the ministry of Jesus Christ that goes on all the way to the end. Did not Jesus talk about this in Matthew chapter 24? We haven't seen all this yet. It's still coming. When is it coming? On the great dreadful day of the Lord. So we're still looking in the future of all this calamity, but smacked in between it, like a beautiful sandwich, if you will, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the signs and wonders and miracles that are going to happen on your handmaidens and your sons and your daughters and your old men. And that means it's me and you. That means while we're waiting on the blood, the smoke, and the vapor, while we're waiting on the calamity and the crisis, we're going to be walking in the power of God. This is why I teach about the two witnesses, what I teach in the book of Revelation. This is why I believe that we're going to be seeing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this earth, just like they're going to be seeing in Jerusalem. We're going to be seeing the manifestations of God, and we're going to be seeing his outpouring just like anybody else in any other generation. Why? Because we're the generation destined to finish the work of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And if God saved the best for last, well, you're looking at the best. Go look at your neighbor and say, you're looking at the best. You're looking at the best, all y'all out there today. You're looking at the best. Come on now. Listen, you got to think about this. If this is the terminal generation, if this is the end, if we're coming to the end, whether it's 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, if we're coming to that end, then guess what? We are the best. God saved the best for last. So we may not feel like the best right now. We may not even look like the best. But as we continue to get in his presence and we say, God, transform us into this image. Transform us into this revelation that Peter was talking about. Then we're going to see that transformation. Come on, I'm seeing it in you guys. I'm seeing it in this house. I'm seeing it in what God is doing in this ministry. He's getting us ready for a great outpouring that we'll talk about in just a minute. Well, maybe next week. No, let me finish up for you. You run me out of here. Too many secrets. Now watch this. Verse 19. Ain't no secrets. I ain't got no secrets. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Okay, we've seen some things recently, but we haven't seen the totality of it. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. We're getting close, aren't we? Getting very close. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'll save that part for next week. But let's finish this up. So he says he's going to pour out his spirit. He said it's going to happen during this particular time. And it's going to be a continuous outpouring. Is that right? Because he said it's going to happen until the great notable day of the Lord. Am I correct? So that means we're in that time frame. That means we have this same ability. And this is why the church is being rejected in this last day. I'm talking about the ecumenical false church, because they refuse to grab hold to the roots of our birth and the roots of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and ask God to baptize us again fresh. They reject it. So God says, I reject you, and I'm going to go find that little remnant church down the road. I'm going to go down there and find that little storefront. Come on. I'm going to bypass that big giant city. I'm going to go to Livonia, Georgia. Watch out now. And I'm going to find some people that are hungry, and I'm going to pour my spirit upon them. And people watching by live stream going to be blessed in their home, and the spirit of God is going to be poured out on them. And then it's going to be able to cascade around, and there'll be pockets of revival and pockets of glory in Goshen refuge places all through America. Why? Because we believe in our roots. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe it's a continuous outpouring. Now watch this. Go to Joel chapter 2 one more time. Can you give me about 5 minutes? I'll just leave if you want me to. Y'all want to hang out? All right. Watch this real quick. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. I'm going to go ahead and get started. Verse 23. And be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain. Everybody say former rain. Moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And you could read the rest about the oil and the wheat and the fat and all that. It speaks of revival. It speaks of glory. So he said, I'm going to give you what? The former and the latter rain. Go to James chapter 5 real quick. James chapter 5. Is this good? You getting more hungry for the Holy Spirit? Amen. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to thirst after him and after his righteousness. All right, James. James chapter 5. If I said 2, I meant 5. 5 verse 7. Watch this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He's coming, right? Well, chill out. Why should I chill out? Because he's got a plan. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receiveth in the early and the what? The latter rain or the later rain. So what is happening here? What is this promise in Acts chapter 2, part 2? In this continuous outpouring, there's going to be the former and the latter rain coming. I'm not talking about the craziness of a latter rain movement that happened a long time ago where there was error. I'm talking about the former and the latter rain, the Acts chapter 1, or Acts chapter 2, part 1, and Acts chapter 2, part 2, coming together, this former and the latter rain, in which was promised in Joel chapter 2, verse 23, which was re-promised in James chapter 5, verse 7. That there would be a tremendous flood, a coming together, a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days. Now watch this. The first rain called the former rain was the seed rain. You want to write that down. I'm going to try not to preach this. I'm going to try to be real cool and get out of here without busting a sweat. The first rain was considered the seed rain. That usually happened in the month of November. Of course, that's our November. It's not the same biblical calendar, but the month of November, that was the seed rain. We have been in the seed rain. We have had rain over the past decades for the seeds, for the harvest that's coming. Okay? The latter rain was the rain for the harvest. Harvest rain. Harvest rain. What did the harvest rain do? It came down and it ripened the crop. It made it ready. We are in harvest rain right now. We're in harvest rain right now to where God is raining out his spirit upon us to obtain that tremendous, mighty outpouring and harvest that is white. Jesus said that was ready, but he can't find any laborers. They're very few. So he promises us what? The early and the latter rain coming together. This is why I tell you, yes, it's hard what we preach. It's hard what we prophesy from this pulpit. But I'm telling you, the flip side to the judgment, the flip side to the doom, the flip side to the gloom, and all of that is a tremendous revival and a tremendous harvest that's coming. Now, what do we do about that before we close? Go to Zechariah chapter 10. It's hard, man. It's hard because prior to this time frame, most of my messages were about revival. My wife has been with me over 20 years. You know, my message has always been revival. And then as we got closer to these times, God was saying, there'll be revival, but it's going to be in crisis. It's going to be revival, but it's going to be in chaos. And so now we have to preach that message to warn. Watch this. Zechariah chapter 10. You say, what do we do, preacher? This is what we do. Ask ye of the Lord, rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Read it again. Ask ye of the Lord. What are you supposed to be doing right now? Asking the Lord. Ask you the Lord, rain in the time of latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. That's what we're doing. We're asking God, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Heavenly Father, I pray, let it rain. Let it rain here in Livonia, Georgia, with your glory and your power and your presence. Let it rain in Ignited Church. Let the flood come of your glory, the former and the latter rain, the rain for the seed and the rain for the harvest. God, let it rain upon us here. Let your rain come. Let your glory come. Flood us and fill us in this place at this hour. Oh God, we're so desperate for you. And Lord, may we always pray for rain. Lord, I believe that the floods that are taking place in America right now, yes, they are judgment, but they are the promise of a mighty outpouring if we'll just repent and seek you and call upon the Lord of the latter rain. And Lord, we're going to do that here from Ignited Church. Let it rain in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I encourage you, pray. Let it rain, and it's going to. Guys, I love you. I'll see everybody Sunday.